I want you to imagine everything I tell you as if you're there yourself.
Welcome to DragonCast.
Do you remember any of the events that led up to your disappearance?
Whilst we're waiting for House of the Dragon Season 2, Jamie East and Chris Mandel dive into some acclaimed series just ripe for a bit of analysis.
Don't come unless you leave your front door open. You have to invite me in.
First is Britt Marling's cult classic, The OA. And we are live on this bonus episode of DragonCast. I've got a mouthful of sandwich, and this is...
I'm Chris Mandel, miraculously here, after jumping from another dimension.
Now, I've pressed record very quickly. Normally, we have a bit of a chat before we press record.
We do.
But Chris's flab has been gasted. We are now into part two of the OA rewatch for me. First time watch for Chris. I would like to caveat, though, that as anyone that's listened to more than 20 seconds of this podcast will know, I've got a memory like a sieve. I'm the opposite. I'm like a goldfish would look like someone with a PhD compared to me. I can remember major bits, but the vast majority of the OA, I've delightfully forgotten everything. So I do kind of feel like I'm watching it all for the first time again.
Yeah.
can remember watching it all, like binging it when it came out. So I did the whole second part like within a day, and felt as kind of like trippy as you would imagine, as you do with any program, let alone the OA part two. Chris, initial reactions, please. We're doing two episodes per kind of episode podcast. So we've done the OA part two, episodes one and two, and they're long. And Chris, take it away, please. Over to you. I'm gonna eat my sandwich.
I feel like my brain is completely broken. I mean, we've done episode one and two, so that is just over two hours of high concept, no hand-holding, brain frying, and yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I'm absolutely blown away by it. I think the first episode was definitely quite a lot of work just to sort of process what's going on. There's Kingsley Benadire is a new sort of cast member doing a very, seems like an adjacent storyline that is starting to sort of dovetail as of the end of episode two. But so just, okay, here's what I've understood. Prairie successfully entered the slipstream and is in a new dimension.
Kaboom, correct.
And an alternative reality. And Hap is there, Homer is there, Renata, Rachel, Scott. They're in like a facility on Treasure Island off the coast of San Francisco.
Which I didn't even know was a real place. Amazing.
I presume it's near, like, is it a bit like an Alcatraz kind of?
Yeah, well, it's connected. It's not as far off as that. I mean, it looks like, because I Googled it straight away ago, and they can't have just decided to call something Treasure Island. That must exist.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's 2 kilometers by 2 kilometers off the northeast coast of San Francisco. Oh, wow. But only like, separated by a bridge, or it's not like Alcatraz where it's completely cut off. And
right,
it seems to be quite industrial over there. But okay.
Anyway, so Prairie is it worked basically? Like the thing that we saw. It's really interesting because we did talk when we did the last episode. Like the finale sort of did try and plant the idea that it was all bullshit, and obviously it's not.
Yeah.
Like, it can't be. It happened. It happened. Worked. So
what's interesting is, and I can't remember, and again, so treat me as if I'm watching it for the first time with you as well. It's interesting that they all seem to have jumped rather than just, and I think that's, I guess, I'm almost certain it gets explained at some point, but they're all there. They can all remember their previous life except for Homer.
Yes. And the reason in the second episode that is the case is that they think they're in the dimension in which Homer has his NDE.
Yes, that's right. Because in season one, we saw him eat the starfish out of the fish tank. So he's in, to him, he's in just like home. It's just a reality for him.
But I think, the thing I haven't quite got my head around is we saw a cut away to like what happened when Prairie was abandoned on the side of the road and Hap took the other four prisoners, freed them, Homer ran, and then sort of came back.
Yes.
So they did the movements.
Yeah. So they, I guess what happens is if you jump together, then you go together. And maybe there's a reason, because Homer was the last one, but Prairie did hers separately, or was separated by glass, or there was some...
Yeah, cosmic... I kind of wondered if... Because the thing is, Prairie didn't actually do anything. This is what I find confusing. Like, the kids...
She was the other side of the glass doing the movements with them, because otherwise it wouldn't
right.
have... Because otherwise it yeah. wouldn't have worked. Like, they needed five people doing the five movements, and she was
and
there.
I was thinking also so much of the thing that makes it work is intention, and I actually wondered if she jumped with the prisoners... Like, those two things happened at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's why she jumped with them, and that's why, well, as far as I'm aware, none of the school kids jumped, right?
Correct.
Or maybe we don't know that yet.
No, well, we kind of got some... We're talking about like the last scene of episode two.
My God. I mean, it's just...
So there's all of that to deal with. So there's the fact that holy shit, the movements worked. Prairie was the OA or is the OA. Mm. She's now seemingly yet again trapped in this dimension where no one can really understand her except for her fellow kind of cellmates in season yeah. one. Yeah. Rachel is mute and can't... can't orate or can't write. Communicate, can't write, yeah. can't, which is interesting. So she's replaced Prairie to Hap. You know, Prairie was yes. Hap's kind of maid, kind of like looker after, you know, kind of helper, assistant in season one because she couldn't see, so didn't know what she was looking at. And so that's transferred.
Oh, of course. So, and Rachel can't communicate and Rachel what
can't
she
communicate
sees.
So what she sees. Yeah. yeah. So yeah. It's that's a good like swap there. So Hap is. At first, you know, Hap plays a great game. He's now a doctor. I can't remember what his name is.
Hunt. Is it Hunter?
Yeah, something.
Percy Hunter.
Percy Hunter, yeah.
Oh, no, it's Hunter Percy because his initials are H-A-P.
H-A-P, that's it, yeah. And so he's like head of, he's almost like the Nurse Ratchet of this kind of, this hospital, this mental institute they're in. And Homer is his kind of number two, so to speak. And... But as we learn over the two episodes, he's transferred. He's got all his knowledge. He knows exactly who they all are. He's playing it straight, not letting on to anybody else because he's still up to no good. He's still trying to do something. We learn towards the end of episode two kind of what exactly that is.
He's trying to map the dimensions.
He's building an interdimensional map. Which is what Rachel was trying to communicate using the Monopoly board and the figures and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Although there was a great moment in that bit where she was like holding up the map and like going, people were going, blah, 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 blah. And someone went, it's a map. And everyone went, yeah. It's like, yes.
Yeah, Renata.
Yeah, exactly. She was like, it's a map. And then sucks a lollipop. Yeah.
How would no one guessed map? How would no one? People were like, planets, solar system. Bridge, and she's like,
exactly
map.
But rewinding a bit, you know, as you say, it's quite disorienting. You know, episode one, you feel like you're watching literally a completely different show, a completely different drama. Yeah. You're in like a detective kind of like missing
kind
girl.
Of true detective ish.
Kind of, exactly. Yes. With your man from, what else was he in? He's been in a few things, actually.
He did, didn't he play,
He's a Brit, isn't he? He's British, isn't
he? Yeah, well, he's in the next Marvel show, Secret Invasion.
Ah, that's it, yeah.
With Olivia Colman. He was in that, didn't he play Martin Luther King? Didn't he just do, wasn't it last year he was nominated for an Oscar?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he's the lad's done well. The lad has
done
well.
He has done well. I didn't know he was in this, and I also had no idea Zendaya was in it.
No, well, there was a whole lot of
Euphoria.
Yeah, but there's another cast member from Euphoria as well, wasn't there? There was the other girl who isn't Zendaya or Sydney Sweeney, the one who plays like the trashy Italian kind of
of course.
She's in there as well. Nate's first girlfriend.
It was really jarring. But yeah, I thought
especially because Zendaya literally plays Rue. She just like looks exactly the same as Rue from Euphoria.
I know. So I thought that was really interesting. And yeah, the at first all the stuff about the game and the missing person, I found it really hard to get my head around. But it sounds like actually the house is the focus of.
Yes. So the way I understand it, and having watched it a couple of times now, is that the game has been, was created by, we think, like this Russian, a Russian oligarch who, you know, it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume that that's got to have something to do with Prairie's dad or Nina's dad.
Yeah.
So the game, I think, was like a, almost like a psychological test that was created to weed out extremely clever and susceptible people. For what reason, we didn't know until towards the end of episode two, when there was, they're all put together in this room with these weird mouthpieces to silently record their dreams. And they were looking for similarities, and they were, and as the lady in the wheelchair explained, three images out of all thousands and thousands, she was saying, like, oh, every person has like four REM states a night, times that by blah blah blah, you end up with like thousands and thousands of different dreams. And over a period of time, three images sprung to mind, and one was a stained glass window, one was a tunnel, one was a curved staircase, and there's only, then you have to take a little leap of faith where they go, and there's only one place in the whole world that has all of that. I'm like, okay, how do you know that? And more importantly, how did you find it? And it turned out it was the house that looked derelict where the guy, where the detective found the bed of the missing girl and all that kind of stuff in there. Yeah. And he was like, it's just a normal house. But then you start thinking, well, that fella jumped out the window, and did he jump? Was he trying to kill himself, or was he taking a leap of faith?
Of course.
So that's where my mind
that's
is.
That's the pink-haired guy, right?
That's the pink-haired guy who seemingly like just went mad and like threw himself out of the window. In my head, I just remember Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, where he had to take the leap, walk over that disguised bridge to see the light in the chat. Yeah. So all of that.
Yeah.
God. Right.
It's really complicated, isn't it? It's really compelling.
It is. But I felt that, like, by the time I got to the end of episode two, I kind of get what's going on here. Hap's building this interdimensional map, or trying to. We don't know how he's doing that yet. There's something mysterious behind the door that Rachel discovered that led to RIP Sharon Van Etten. Well done. Saluting you, even though you had a dreadful fringe.
Is that Sharon Van Etten?
That's Sharon Van Etten. Always has been. I told you that. You knew that.
No.
Yeah. That's Sharon Van Etten. She just like auditioned on a whim.
Of course it is. Of course it's her. Like, but I can't believe I haven't picked up on that.
Yeah. Sharon Van Etten. Amazing scenes. Yeah, one of my favourite ever singers. She's like fucking great.
What the fuck?
I know.
Sorry.
Anyone that doesn't know who Sharon Van Etten is, do go and like seek out Sharon Van Etten's music. It really is like, most
Rasheen excellent. Murphy was on that Joe Barton Netflix show.
Yes, it's just like completely bizarre. Like, yeah, I'm just going to go and act in this thing for a bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so Rachel saw something incriminating, stabbed Hap, and then subsequently... Did she get a neck break?
I kind of heard like a little crunch, almost like a neck break, but then she's classic shot, which someone must have done a supercut of how many times we've seen people lying on concrete and then a pool of blood slowly appearing around the head. It's a bit sit there waiting for it, don't you? It's like, where's the blood? Yeah. There it is.
But also, I don't know a lot about like bludgeoning people in the head, but like, I feel like if you got a head injury and you were lying on your head, the blood wouldn't pool out. It would just soak into your hair.
Yeah, I guess so.
But that's a less appealing shot.
If anyone's ever done that, do get in touch at DragonCast_pod.
If you've ever whacked anyone in the head, please let us know. And then it goes into her eye, and then we go back to Buck, one of the school kids.
Yeah. So the trans, are we saying trans? There was some hormone replacement going on. Well, the parent was calling them
Michelle.
It's not Michelle, it's Buck. So
And also because even like Prairie was like, oh, it's the boys and BBA when she was showing them the picture. So
that's
by
true.
All intents.
Yeah, so, hang on a second. Can we just dwell on the fact that she drew that incredible picture from using a fucking crayon for a second?
And got absolutely no charcoal on her top.
And just memory as well. It's like, hang on, you'd make a fortune on Leicester Square.
I think she looked a bit like this. Then we saw Buck's bedroom and it zoomed into the mirror.
Yes. So now, first, I think the first time I watched that, I just assumed it was like a neat kind of editing trick, or it was just something like a fancy transition. It was a great transition. But it's obviously meant to show that the worlds are connected, that and you can get back to them, or you know, there is a there's like a way back or a way to and throwing and stuff. Buck was reading the books that she'd found under Prairie's bed.
Yeah.
So my God, I mean, it's a lot to take in.
One thing actually, when you talked about that guy jumping out the window, I noticed there was a bit in the psychiatric facility with Homer's watching through a one-way mirror.
Yeah.
And then we've got the mirror in this final shot, and then we have the window. And I kind of wonder if there's something about these surfaces that enable people to... Maybe. Prairie was also standing through a bit of glass to watch the shooting.
You may well be right. I can't remember, so I can't give anything away.
That feels significant to me, just in the way that, like... Also, I realized that, like, the door... In season one, Prairie was always asking people to leave the doors open.
Yeah, we never really got explained, did it?
Forgot about that. And it seems to me like if Rachel has died, Rachel can appear in another dimension. Like if Rachel had a near-death experience, she would have briefly been in that place. But if she's died, maybe the Rachel in that world will kind of remember what happened.
Maybe, yeah, possibly. Yeah,
and have, like, if Rachel in the normal, I don't say normal, but the regular world has an NDE, she will think of like having her neck broken in that timeline. Like it's sort of...
Well, yeah, because we saw there was like a crossover, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So it wasn't that this world was created when Prairie transitioned, when she went over. The multiverse was already carrying on.
Yeah.
It's just that all of a sudden... There was a swap. There was like a body swap.
She's conscious of it. She's conscious of it.
Well, she felt she'd been shot. She was like, and she collapsed, people thinking that she had a heart attack. Yeah, that's right.
And she had a Russian accent. She was called Nina. She had a Russian accent. She was having some sort of dealings. And then her husband or boyfriend, who is Russian, right, came. Yeah. We didn't see him, but he came to the facility and left.
Yeah.
So, and then she is on the deeds to the house that is like the special house.
Exactly. So it's got to be to do with her dad. It's got to be.
Something that did go over my head is something that I think Hap said, which was like, everyone has a seed in their brain.
Yeah, that was, so that was what it all, so this will, that will give you a clue as to how bonkers this season gets.
Yeah.
Is that literally there was like a watercress thing growing out of
That guy's ear, because he'd been in the house. The house had sort of facilitated the growth of that seed.
I mean, I genuinely can't remember, but all I can remember, I saw that and I was like, oh fuck yeah, I remember how crazy this fucking gets. I remember it gets very surreal.
It feels less, obviously it's only been two episodes, but it feels less spiritual, I think, because so much of it's set in a very like San Francisco, and there's the app, there's the like Bitcoin references. I thought it was amazing that 2016, 2017, they're talking about Bitcoin.
Yeah, I thought, my God, I thought we'd only started talking about this like a couple of years ago. There was Bitcoin, there was apps, Ether. There was, what else was there? I wrote it down.
The Ether. Yeah,
crowdsourcing.
Blockchain.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
I mean, in San Francisco, they have been probably talking about it since 2016. So true. I'm like, God, they really were ahead of the curve. But all of these things, the sort of palette of all of these references, and even San Francisco, which is, you know, in some areas it is quite a poor city, but it's also like really forward thinking with like technology and stuff. It does feel different to the very rural setting.
Augmented reality was a bit Pokemon Go, wasn't it, as well?
Yeah, and I thought very Black Mirror-esque with that app. But yeah, it does give it a different sort of flavor in the way that I thought the ruralness and the religious in the aspects of season one were quite important. This feels a little bit more... Just that it's sort of bigger and deeper, and it's more...
It seems to be leaning toward more towards science fiction rather than theology, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But it's so exciting. I mean, it's really, really weird.
Yeah, Joe Biden president. That was the laugh, wasn't it? That was the big kind of like, oh, who's Obama? It's Biden. It's like, oh my God.
I could not believe it. Amazing. I could not believe that. That is absolutely bonkers.
Yeah.
I suppose the only thing, the big thing I don't really understand is why Homer doesn't recognize them. But then my actual theory after watching that episode was he does.
Yeah. Well,
but he's just playing up to the fact that he's pretending he doesn't because it's safer.
I can't remember.
I can't understand the logistics of how he wouldn't know.
It depends. I mean, I genuinely can't remember. It will have something to do with how close they all were when the other four were kind of like, didn't break the chain. He was the one that left the circle and then re-entered it. Did that weaken something? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out. I'm sure.
Yeah, we do find out. Yeah. Somebody sent us a great tweet.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got to I was going to bring that up as well. But just hold on to your horses for a second. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and read the tweet. See you in a second.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This will make more sense to you once you've watched the last episode. Once you've seen how season two ends, because and I'll read it out for the listeners, or you read it out. You read it out.
Okay. So Cassandra replied to our last week's episode and said, "You must watch season two of OA." No, it's not Lost season six.
Killing you off there.
Although I would say so far it is giving a bit of that.
Yeah.
I would say, but it's not Lost season six. All Chris's current questions will be answered. Amazing. That's an amazing thing to tell someone because I'm so excited.
Yeah.
The books are explained. There's a reason Riz Ahmed was in the house. There's a reason why Hap dumped Prairie.
Oh. I mean, that's tantalizing information. Tantalizing information.
So the reason Riz is in the house, I think there's got to be some overlap between Nina owning the really important house in this timeline and Riz going to alternate dimension Prairie's house.
Yeah.
Is it Prairie's house as a sort of constant in all these universes could be important.
Yeah. Maybe.
Or
is
Riz Ahmed's character has a consciousness across to,
is he like the Doctor Strange of the whole thing? Yeah.
He's the one that knows to go to the source, to go to the house kind of thing. That feels very significant to me, that he's way more than he seems. The books, I mean, it's interesting that like Nina, as you'll know her in this timeline, is Russian, has links to Russians. That kind of does explain some of the, wasn't there a book about Russian dynasties or something?
It's the oligarchs, all about Russian oligarchs,
It's what I like also is that they have... they're not withholding. They are withholding stuff, but the show is very good. It's quite lean. They just crack on, and I think that's really good.
It's all about plot. It's very plot focused.
Yeah.
Now someone sent a tweet, and I can't bloody find it. They sent it to me, and I'm kind of half loathing deciding whether or not I should read it out because it's not going to give anything away. All I would say is, I'll talk about it more because it really kind of gave me goosebumps. It's such a meta show, DOA is, and you'll understand more once you've watched season two. And the controversy over its cancellation was insane. It was next level. To a relatively, I'm gonna say probably comparatively to something like House of the Dragon or Succession or something, relatively small audience, but deeply passionate and deeply involved in the storyline. People went fucking mental about it. Like, absolutely fucking mental. It was the first time that Netflix had done what they do all the time now, which is like, yeah, we're going to fucking cancel it.
Yeah.
Okay. And people went fucking crazy. The interesting thing about it was that there was very, very little discourse or even comment from anyone involved in the show. So Britt Marling, Jason Isaacs.
Really?
Very, very little. You will find almost no comments about it other than we're disappointed. We would have loved to have told the whole story. That's it.
Right.
They've never done any interviews about it since. That it's literally whole thing shut down. I did a panel with Jason Isaacs sometime after about Star Trek, and I was in the green room chatting to him very happily, you know, chatting away, talking about anything. I asked him about the airway, buttoned it. Did not say a fucking word.
Really?
So, and someone questioned, and again, you'll understand more once you watched it, saying, is this part of the plot?
Yeah.
Is the cancellation all part of it?
Because I read it was, they actually planned 5 seasons.
Yeah,
I thought initially they were doing 3 and they said 5 seasons.
No, they planned 5.
Now, I think I know.
We can't talk about it because we don't want to spoil it for anyone that's watching along with us. But
I think I know a tiny bit of what you're referring to.
Mm-hmm. But okay. It ends very weirdly. And something that's never.
But I remember people thinking it was part of the meta narrative that it
exactly
like
exactly canceled. So it goes it goes like meta, but someone tweeted just going, I reckon it's all part of the plan. And now all I'm looking for is kind of like dates and times and like mentions of like years or something, so I can try and work out if there's a if like in 2025 that literally you'll wake up one morning and the OAC part 3 will just have dropped and it will have all been part of the plan. That's what I'm kind of like starting to look for.
Wow.
So if anyone else is watching this and has seen it before, or listening to this and has seen it before, help me out with this and start looking for clues or Easter eggs about times and dates just in case.
Wow.
Because we will be the smuggest fuckers on the planet.
Can you imagine if it actually came back?
Yeah. But and plus it was always part of the thing that they go, oh, actually.
Yeah, that it was part of, yeah.
Oh, great.
Wow. It's a really special show, and it's so different, and it's so.
It is. And that's why I'm so glad you like it, because it is just really different. You kind of watch it I feel like I watch the OA in a completely different way than I watch anything else. The nearest thing I can compare it to is I'm a huge Christopher Nolan fan. Mm. It's a little bit interstellary and also Arrival.
It reminds me a lot of that.
In terms of tone and the big questions that it asks you of yourself and of the characters, it just puts me in that place where you're thinking about death and you're thinking about legacy and connections with your fellow humans and all of that kind of stuff. I just love it. I love it. It's a real kind of like fresh glass of water in the kind of like milky world of television.
I think some of the thing that seems to really cement that feeling of it just having this like understanding of its world is that I don't really feel like Britt Marling's done anything since. It feels like a very specific.
Exactly.
It's not like she's got like 9 projects on the go. It's like there's something quite pure and like uncomplicated. It's like this was the thing she was supposed
to
make.
This was her life work. Yeah, this was her.
Yeah, it does have a feeling, and I'm sort of intrigued if she's doing anything at the moment, like what she
does. I'm having a look now. She has not done a single thing since the OA. Not a single thing. She says here that she's like, there's something called Retreat, which is an upcoming American television limited series created by Britt Marling and Zal Batmanglij.
Oh, when is that?
The way it doesn't say. Her role is someone called Lee. She's also the writer, director, and exec producer for it. But this was like, so this article first came out in 2021. It's going to be, it's apparently going to be on the FX channel. That to me doesn't sound like a project that's still happening.
Yeah, because also maybe it was, I don't know. I mean, it's so, why so cryptic? I mean,
it's like I'm looking at the Deadline article, and it's very thin. You know, it's a press release, really. We're delighted to blah 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 blah, and that was from August 13th, 2021. There has been not a peep about that show since.
I don't understand also, like, something I think about a lot is when you're someone like Britt Marling, who got paid for 2 seasons of the show, don't get any royalties because it's on streaming. Yeah. Don't get any residuals. How does that person make a living? How are they? Yeah. How are they?
How do they do it?
You know, well, they paying must for their groceries, yeah, paying for their mortgage. Like, I don't understand it.
Okay, so there's a bit more. So according to this, it's happening. According to the Wikipedia page, it's happening. So Britt Marling's playing Lee. Emma Corrin's in it.
Amazing.
Clive Owen is in it. But it's still like, you know, let's have a look. We'll see if there's anything about it that comes up. Casting the role, So this cast series began principal photography on the February the 7th last year.
Okay, well, that's not too...
With filming taking place in New Jersey, United States, New Zealand, in April 2022, they also did some in late December. So apparently it wrapped late December 2022. So we may hear something about this.
It wrapped late December. Great. So they'll probably either put it in at like fall, winter,
yeah,
this year, or they'll do it next year.
So that sounds exciting. So it's come from the same part. I'm still kind of holding on. Like you say, there's a big gap there. With no work, you know, there's like,
yeah, I find it very, very interesting.
6 years with not a single piece of work.
Yeah. I just don't understand how you do it. And I mean, you know, you do take meetings, and like, I've got a friend who does like writers' rooms for things, and you do
screen
get paid quite a lot.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, you get paid. You get paid money to just like even just consult on stuff without having your name on it. But I'm like,
that doesn't strike. Yeah, she doesn't strike me as that kind of gal, though.
No.
I
find it. If anyone knows what how Britt Marling,
she didn't
pays
reply.
Her mortgage.
She didn't reply to my DM. She didn't.
Did you actually DM her?
I DM'd her saying, asking her to come on this. Yeah, for sure. I might try and put a call in to Jason Isaacs people. I occasionally exchange DMs with Sharon Van Etten. You know, maybe I should ask her. I don't want to blow my DM relationship with Sharon Van Etten by being...
Do you know what's also really interesting, though? Like, so I was sort of... I'm obsessed with the guy who plays Homer, Emery Cohen.
I don't know anything about him.
No, he's not really... But he's doing, like, small projects. But I was like, he's, first of all, just one of the most handsome men I've ever seen. But also, I'm like, where did you come from? Where are you? It does feel weirdly appropriate for the nature of the show that we're asking these questions. Like,
yeah.
Where is everyone?
Well, yeah, and also...
Where's everyone gone?
Yeah, that it wasn't this breakthrough... That it wasn't a breakthrough role. It should have been a breakthrough role for him, really. You know?
Yeah, I think he did some theatre.
He was in the Place Beyond the Pines. He's done quite a bit of stuff, but nothing kind of like huge. A few films, but all kind of like... Who knows?
It's very interesting anyway. Yeah. And
I'm all down on that. I'm going down that wormhole that actually maybe the OA is just going to pull the rug from underneath us at some point and just come back. But yeah, two episodes, part two, fucking great. Loved it. I loved the kind of, you know, someone who raves about brand storyline in Thrones for the past God knows how many weeks. I love a bit of Destiny, love a bit of Supernatural and dreams and visions and all that. Right up my warging alley, mate.
I think it also just, it feels not out of the, it feels like I watch it and I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. Mm. Like there's a conviction to the science of it all that is quite like rare.
Yeah.
And I think they explain it all, but they also don't. And I think they've just got such a handle on what they're doing. And I think it's just, that's what's really exciting.
I agree. If I'd had more time, I'd have done some research on the Parable of the Sower, which was the book that was referenced
in
that.
Yes, I'm very intrigued by that.
I'm sure that there will be some kind of Easter eggy kind of thing in there. Maybe I'll have a look at that.
It's just such a shame they're not doing it more of. I'm just, you know, they've got
now
such
you
a
know
big...
The, now you know the upset that we all felt. Welcome. Welcome to our pain.
So why did it get cancelled? Is it not doing enough numbers?
Who knows? You know, Netflix always say, you know, we've never cancelled a successful show. And it's just, but it's about how you, people are arguing, that's fair enough, but how you're measuring success, because you can't, you know, binning so many shows after one season is just demoralising for the makers. You know, it's demoralizing for the viewers. As I've said to you, I'm put off from watching things until there's a few seasons under the belt.
Yeah. What was that one? 18, the one from the guys.
1877.
That did
Dark. Yeah. Just
so apparently I heard, that one of the reasons they like one of the reasons they cancelled that was that the people dropped off. The drop-off rate was really high.
Oh, I see. What, so they didn't stick with it until the finale?
Yeah. Right. So like everyone loved episode 1 and 2, but not many people watched episode 5. Which to that I would say, this is what happens when you put them all out at once.
Yes, that's a good point.
Like the bit, it's the binge model is the problem, and they're just not willing to change that, and they're not willing to.
And I'm, you know what, I'm guilty of, I'm as guilty of that as anybody, of kind of like binging through it, but my phone distracting me, or like I start making dinner during the fourth episode and kind of half watching it, and then by the time I get back, I've forgotten what, you know. So bang on.
I think with the way that TV is now, like the routine of watching stuff is really important. And I think binging sort of goes against the way that we have routine with what we consume. Like the podcasts I listen to, you know, I listen to certain podcasts on a Monday morning, I do some on a Thursday afternoon. Like there's a routine to it. And if you imagine you would never binge a podcast. Like,
no, we do when you first discover it, but then it's only kind of, oh great, I want to catch up a little bit. You know, I want to catch up. But I mean, you know, two of the other shows that we talk about on here so far, you know, Game of Thrones, House of Dragon, and we're going to be talking about Succession too. And Last of Us. Four huge shows, coincidentally all from the same broadcaster. But all of those eked out week by week by week. And it's been really good.
None of them now do weekly. The only ones that don't do weekly is Netflix. Like, the Amazon Marvel Prime stuff does weekly.
I guess Clarkson's Farm is an example, but that's not really drama.
Andor, actually, they did like three drops, didn't they? They sort of did like three sets.
Which felt good, actually, because it felt like you got a movie length.
Well, that's what I like about Disney, is I think they really are playing around. Like,
we
give people two episodes of, you know, Miss Marvel, or we'll try three and then we'll do it weekly, or we'll do it. And I like that.
Yeah.
Like,
playing around. I think Netflix are in a whole world of pain. I really do.
Oh, 100%.
It's a shame because a lot of really nice people work there, and it's, you know, God, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Netflix. They saved my ass during lockdown with work and stuff like that. So I will always be. Just quick note before we go, just checking on The Last of Us on what you just said, really pleased. Not that I've got any investment in it apart from being a huge fan, that people are fucking loving it. And that week by week thing, the interest has just grown and grown and grown. We always knew episode 3 was going to be a kind of catalyst for kind of like virality and kind of people talking about it. But people are just really invested in the story now, and it's fucking great to watch. And I caught up again last night and watched it. I was like, oh my God, I remember this now. Yeah, so good.
Yeah. And I think it was last week they dropped an episode early because of the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Which is what they always do with HBO. They always drop, you know, and it's just, it's working with your audience.
Yeah.
It's
a little nudge. It's a little tweak. I have to show you my purchase. Wait.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
So because Last of Us episode 3 was such a, I think will go down as being one of the greatest episodes of television of all time, I thought I'd commemorate it with a bit of merch. And
Oh my God, I love it.
Extraordinary fan-made t-shirt. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, you'll see it, but it just says Bill and Frank, rest in peace, kings. And then underneath, I was never afraid before you showed up. Like, just with a beautifully kind of like...
Oh my God.
It's like a t-shirt that you bought on holiday from like a...
Yeah. It looks like a ninth, sort of in the 90s. Yeah. It's quite old school.
It's awesome.
Oh, that's great. I love that. Yeah. It's very interesting. Very interesting to see it grow and grow.
I'd be interested to see how the finale goes down, actually, of The Last of Us. I think, I don't know, I think that's like two weeks time. So we'll check back. We'll check back in, do a rewatch of the finale, have a little chat about that maybe. We'll see.
We should.
But we have got a shitload to do coming up. So we've got the OA to finish, which we'll do in next 3 weeks, maybe. Game of Thrones is careering its way through, but just to let listeners and viewers know, we're going to be going all in on Succession. We are.
Oh my God.
We're going to be doing a full week by week episode of that. And with any luck, cross fingers, maybe get some of the people behind the show on it as well. We did it last year, almost like a precursor to Dragoncast. We did it with Grace Dent. on overly over on previously on. I'm going to migrate it over to Dragoncast. Hopefully, so if you're not into Succession, I think you, if you like, you know, if you're listening to us after all this time and you like House of the Dragon, you like Game of Thrones, you like the OA and all that, you'll like Succession. You'll really dig it.
Nothing like it on telly, you know.
Well, there is, and it's Game of Thrones. I think, you know, if you, do you know what I mean? It's the closest. Mm. Weirdly, it's the closest thing to it. It's a modern day boardroom drama, family drama, but it is Game of Thrones, and all the things you like about Game of Thrones are present and correct, apart from maybe the incest. But you know, season five. We've been waffling on, Chris. Absolute pleasure.
Pleasure.
Glad you love those two. Strap yourself in. It's a wild ride from here on in. We're like at the precipice, you know, on the roller coaster, and you just starting to teach. Holy shit! And there we go.
It's going to get even more bananas.
We'll be back on Monday with whatever it is you guys have chosen for our Game of Thrones rewatch.
Season 5.
Later on in the week with OA Part 2, Episodes 3 and 4. Until then, we can't even do this. There's a seed.
Please.
We need to put some watercress growing out of our ears.
Yeah.
Chris, see you later, buddy.
See you later.
If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, just head over to Twitter @DragonCast_pod or email DragonCast@daftdoris.com and leave us your Easter eggs, predictions and thoughts on the show. You can also watch this episode over on our YouTube channel. Just search for DragonCast Jamie East. Any support, whether it's a follow, a share, a mention to your friend on the bus or a tattoo on your backside, is very much appreciated. DragonCast is hosted by me, Jamie East, along with Chris Mandel, and is a Daft Doris production. Drakkar.